This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Morning, Doc. Welcome back. I see you've got your sailor's outfit. The last time I spoke to you, you were down in Cape Town sailing around the harbour and heading off to Brazil with Art Matthews. What happened there? Did you get tossed off the boat?
No, I made damn sure that I didn't leave the harbour, the safety of the harbour. But yeah, interesting. And as I say, you know, we can chat about Art and his journey a little bit later. You know, obviously front man of Just Ginger and well known in that circle, but reinventing himself as a captain and going in the Cape to Rio. But yeah, nice to be back in studio, Gordon. Now, just as a point of order, I mean, last week I listened to the show and you were nasty to the Orlando Pirates supporters.
It was
supporters.
A slip of the tongue, Doc.
And so well done to them for winning the Nedbank this...
Well done, who?
We don't
mix up the metaphors yet. The Pirates won some obscure tournament.
Well, don't tell Kinsani Nabunda that, you know, as the head of marketing at Nedbank. Gordon, the other thing just on soccer before we get into the guests is well done. I mean, you guys top of the log again and beat your cross-town rivals at the weekend.
Yeah, so look, it's quite surreal, you know, to be honest. It's I'm just saying nothing until the World Cup's over.
You don't want to jinx it.
Not going to jinx it, but we are, you know, one third of the way into the season, heading on for half of the way into the season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Chiefs sitting in third, I think, and Arsenal on top. I would have taken that at the beginning of the year.
But
back to the point of today, and it's something which I'm really excited about because – we haven't covered Penduring Awards for a couple of years. The last time we did it, we had Pepe in, and it was really an important discussion. But today we've got Nkabiseng Motau, who's the chief commercial officer, or was it the chief creative officer? You're going to explain that to us in a moment, Nkabiseng, of Think Creative Africa. And Nkabiseng is the awards jury president of Pendurings 2022. So welcome, Nkabiseng. And Eben Kian, who, amongst his other trademarks, is the general manager of Penduring. So you've walked the journey for the last couple of years, but also in your own parallel universe, chief brand architect of Brainstorm Brand Architect. So Nkabiseng, welcome. Eben, welcome. Thanks for making the time today on a blistering, cold, miserable, raining, flooding Joburg day. So well done. Just making it here, I think, is in and of itself quite a treat. Nkabiseng, thanks for joining us. And Eben.
Thank you. Thanks.
So, Eben, I think let's start with you because you've been part of the journey for a couple of years now. And I've, to be honest, lost track of the Pendurings because you were online for a while. It was kind of virtual. But just take us through the journey. And let's take the journey, which I think is particularly fascinating, from the early days of Pendurings, which was very specifically an Afrikaans cultural event, and it's become this amazing cross-cultural platform for everybody in the ad industry.
Yeah, so I think we're in the 27th year of Pendurung. Brainstorm has only been responsible for the last 5 years in transforming Pendurung properly. That was the kind of order from the board at the time when they brought it to us. They said, make it meaningful or make it die a slow death. And I think that we've really turned it around, and it is a meaningful Indigenous language award program. And it's something that's incredibly important in South Africa, in a country where over 90% of people speak a mother tongue other than English. And somehow we've all agreed that it's okay to live our lives mostly in English, which means that a lot of us are suffering confidence issues from this thing that's our mother tongue, and it's very closely tied to our identity. So the Pendurungs over the last 5 years changed all rules to make sure that all languages enter on equal footing, and it's also in line with how advertising and branding around the world's changing. The kind of categories have evolved. So today we also reward children's books, because it's a very important part of Indigenous language promotion, is early childhood education. Kids learn better cognitively when they first hear stories in their mother tongue. And we're told that you're meant to start reading in your mother tongue before any other language.
And I think I think one of the big changes there is the move towards a much wider look at creativity, you know, including stories, including poetry and narrative and a whole lot. So it's not just the world of advertising, which is a massive and a nice change and a welcoming change, because it's obviously a lot wider.
So we see a lot of branded content being entered, different new forms of narratives. As advertising spend gets diverted to other digital platforms, podcasts are now being entered, children's storybooks, as I've said. We've seen some beautiful documentaries being entered. Mm. So the places where brands, or the idea of brands, create stories around themselves are all areas in which we reward it if it's done with incredible craft in Indigenous languages.
Talking of the craft, Nkaba Singh, you've gone in as the jury president this year. I mean, did you do a Elon Musk? Did you go in with a kitchen sink and a rule book, or how did you? You know, what were you looking for? You know, as trying to put your own kind of flavoring into the dish in 2022.
Yeah, no, I definitely did not do an Elon Musk at all. I think I went in certainly looking to celebrate the work that comes in our Indigenous languages and to encourage it to a certain extent. So, yes, of course, looking for excellence, looking for craft, because we know that's there in our Indigenous languages, but also just looking a little bit longer at a piece of work, you know, going, what are the merits? What are the insights? What's the cultural nuance that only comes with the language? If it's a written piece or a writing piece, looking word for word, what were the choices? You know, they had 500 million different words to say a single thing, and they've chosen this special one that makes it funnier, you know, and just making sure that all of those pieces of work that do it right, that give you the goosebumps, they come out and they shine. So it was quite an interesting one. It's not to say we were a lenient jury, I don't believe. I think we still looked critically at the work, but really we went in with the essence of celebration for the work.
Yeah. And I think, sorry, Gordon, I think the nice thing about the awards, I guess, is the layer of authenticity beyond just the words. You know, you try to look where you can, and I guess, I mean, obviously I wasn't part of the jury, is the heart that comes with it. You know, and it throws back to one of our very early chats to Napster. Remember about a different language ideation, not translation of an English ad. And I mean, we've made the point, Gordon, so often, and I think it probably still sadly happens, is people would write the thing in English and then translate into another language and then try and just use the words of English, which is not always the word of...
And you can hear it.
But and I think so. We were chatting then about scratching the layer back, not the words. And he, this creative guy, Napster, who I'd worked with at Olgovian FCB, spoke about getting people to ideate in their own language up front. You don't give them a script. You give them just the big idea. You know, so anyway, so I think that's the nice part about looking at the heart, you know, and the real cultural nuance in terms of, and not just the piece of.
So I mean, I love that thought in Nkaba Singh, you know, celebrate the work, and I think all too often in the awards we are inclined to celebrate the winners, not the work. It ultimately, you know, if it just stops at the awards, I don't think, you know, there's winners on the night, but no winners beyond that. If we celebrate the work, there's the proposition of taking it beyond that. And even from what I understand, remarkably in the last couple of years, there's a UNESCO attachment and recognition to awards, UNESCO, which allows you to roll right beyond an award evening.
Absolutely. It's like Pendering is becoming a movement or a multi-stakeholder partnership to change the role of Indigenous language in South African society. We had a UNESCO endorsement a few years ago when there was a year of Indigenous languages. And then actually right now we started with a decade of Indigenous languages globally. So it's the International Decade of Indigenous Languages. And we've got an endorsement as a development partner to the South African Commission for UNESCO. So this year what we did the day before the award ceremony, also at University of Joburg, we hosted the Indigenous Language Imbizo. We had a whole new host of new partners in addition to our previous partners that came to the party and spoke not only from the marketing and communications industry, but from all different sectors about functional multilingualism. How is it that we can adjust as a society to really start seeing the unlocking of this cultural nuance and insight and really things that can end up adding to our GDP at the end of the day if we know how to use and celebrate our identity in more meaningful ways through the creative industries.
Mm-hmm. Just to bring it back to the awards and Nkabiseng for a moment, I've sat on the judging panel for the South African Radio Awards, the awards evenings in a week or two from now, but every time I sit in judging there, I'm kind of conscious of how difficult it is for African language stations to actually submit a case study to judges because, you know, yes, there's a category for ALS stations, and the best ALS station will win whatever that one is. But how do you break out of that mold and just be the best station when so many of the judges just can't actually understand what's going on? So one of my favorite, I love radio. I grew up with radio as my medium as a child. But one of my favorite awards was the, which ultimately we'll come back to the Impeta Awards, but was the radio award, and Nando's, I think it's yes. Which ironically, sorry, no, my false teeth.
You've been practicing the whole morning just for that, Gordon.
It was really good.
Yeah, ironically, had it just been an audio entry, I would not have understood a word of it. It required kind of video component of the entry.
With subtitles
for me to understand it. So how do you, and we'll come back to, you know, winning submissions and how you go about it. But I mean, how do you manage that, you know, when it's something which is so audio based that you have to almost divorce the entry from the actual product itself?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting challenge for entering agencies and individuals, that how do you represent your work the best way that the room will understand it really well and get its merits. So the art of entering work is just like this whole other piece of many of our jobs as creative people that I think isn't like fully understood. So it's crafting the piece so that your sort of minimum or your lowest common denominator of language understanding will really get it. So translating it, adding a video component and so on. But from the Pendering's perspective, it's also making sure that there's a diverse jury. So our jury was very vocal.
Yes.
So if there was an issue, guys, I really saw this piece of work and I love it, but is this the right way to say the sentiment in Sesotho? There was a lot of that kind of discussion. And having people step in to go, no, you know what, there's a problem. Even something as granular as spelling, which changes the meaning of the word, potentially is looked at. So it's making sure that the eyes and ears that are in the room are well represented in terms of languages that they represent, as well as just understanding the craft and the brands and how everything ties together and lands in the South African ear. But of course, we're making work for South Africans, right? If all of us in the room are South Africans and none of us can understand it, that's also a hint. So yeah, I think it's a combination of like going the extra mile to unpack your work for the jury, having a jury that is diverse, inclusive, has representation, and then making sure that the work is relevant for audiences on behalf of our brands. I think the work that does that really does swim to the top.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about listening to the realness and the robustness of the dialogue is that it's not just award work, you know what I mean? And I'm not a huge, I mean, I've been the recipient of our agency where we've won work, and it's nice to win. But you know, there's that bit of realness that sits beyond the bubble gum. You know, after 20 minutes, you spit it out, tastes great, and then you're looking for something else. What's the next shiny object? So it's nice that you got a piece of work that resonates with real South Africans in a real setting, as opposed to, you know, just suddenly the creative brilliance of award season, you know, which I was never a fan of because, I mean, it's nice to win, don't get me wrong, and it's good, and I understand the reasons for it, but I also like good, sustainable, great work done by the same creative people. They're the same brilliant. It's just Tuesday, not Monday. And it's got that realness that sits within the market. Mm-hmm. So if it sits in the Sotho market or the Zulu market, as an example, real people who are not part of the jury can say, geez, this is a piece of work that speaks to me. And it's not just a language piece. It's a heart. And I think, you know, we all know that we live in a very multicultural, complex, challenging and in rewarding country. And it's about taking all of those things as
best. I also wanted to add one thing. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Part of the entries that we've seen in recent time is people will capture the social media response of people to the piece of work and put that in the entry video.
Okay. In the case study itself.
Yeah, and I think that gives you a sense, you know, if like you get lots and lots of people tweeting about how funny it is, how engaging it is, just sort of organically, not really being part of any kind of entering body, that tells you this is really powerful and it landed. Even if you go on the works hashtag as a juror, you can actually see how people responded to it. Yeah.
Evan, you were going to
comment? There's this incredible thing about the transformed nature of a Pendurung jury. Which, I mean, if the boardrooms in Adland in South Africa looked like the Pendurung jury did, we would have no transformation issues.
Yeah.
But there's also the very real thing of the purpose and the conversations that start out of these juries, which is incredible. Award shows and purpose don't really go hand in hand in general. But in Pendurung, it's slightly different because we've got this thing of 90% of our languages that, or 90% of the people's language that have been ignored for so long in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it gives us a very interesting purpose component to what Pendurung really is about.
Yeah. So I think what's encouraging for me, I mean, I judged at Cannes, you know, along in another previous life, and I felt sorry in a way for the creative guys because the judging process at Cannes is just so mechanical. It's 3 points. It's definitely worth winning an award. It maybe it'll win an award, and it definitely doesn't. Mm. So, you're just moving through stuff, and you're just hitting the button. But by its very nature, something like Pendurung is more complex, and you can't just judge it on a 3-point scale. So, it's very encouraging, I think, to hear that this sort of complexity is part of the process, and that's part of the dialogue. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think another thing that's interesting about the judging process, just looking at the work, each individual judge gets to weigh in. So look at the work, score it accordingly. Mm. And then what actually doesn't happen, unlike other judging rooms, is people don't get a chance to convince you you're wrong about your score.
Okay.
Because that's another factor of having more influential jurors than others swaying the room on what's really good. It really is about how you grade the work, which I think is special.
I like the idea as well of you know, sort of trying to reflect in your submission the success of the case study in itself. If we go back to the World Federation of Advertisers, they just put out a DEI, a Diversity, Equity and Inclusion report, and there's a diversity hub, which I think you guys should just have a look at, and we'll take it offline. If you can't find it, I'll download the document for you. But they've got 4 key points for cultural diversity. Inclusive audience planning, that's the media component of that. And I think that's where the problem starts very often, because I can plan cultural nuance out of a media plan with a bunch of numbers before the process even starts. Then supporting diverse voices, which I think is being part of our discussion today. Balancing brand safety, which I think is important. You've got to balance the brand's personality with the projected diversity game plan, whatever you want to call it, and then ultimately measuring success, which is what you're saying. That, and if I think back again to Cannes, one of the areas we judged was media effectiveness. And you've got to have success. This cannot just be posturing. We've had enough posturing in this country. So what I liked about the case studies and the winners that I saw was there was a very real functional component to them as well. So, Doc, you had one, I think, which was particularly kind of resonated with you.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Yeah, I think just before we move off that point, Gordon, and I think, you know, I mean, you've spoken very passionately about real transformation in the MAC Charter and perhaps the shortcomings of it, and hopefully, you know, and not just for you, but also for the industry. Hopefully that does come about, that we can get, you know, people from the MAC Charter to come onto the show and chat with us about what is going on in terms of real, real
transformation. Yeah, no, we'll come back to that.
I mean, when you made the point, you know, in terms of, just in terms of the actual people that are judging, you know, in terms of realness. Yeah. And if you can almost bottle that, you know, and sprinkle it over the boardrooms, you won't have to worry about charters and all the rest of it. And I mean, not going to go into the discussions of last week and the week before in terms of Eskom, in terms of their composition of suppliers, which again flies in the face sometimes of what was the intended
just before purpose. I forget, I mean, we had a conversation with Arabang Makaza a week or two back when she made the point about handing over the baton. There's an expectation that people of my era and, you know, management era must hand over the baton, but there's equally a responsibility for the receiving of the baton if you're running a relay. So we must also recognize that, you know, you've got to hand over the baton. We've got the Advertising Standards Authority or whatever they're called now, regulatory body.
Yeah.
But there's no facility for consumers to reward. There's a place we can go where you want to complain, which is like not everybody is made that way, but I don't know that we've got a facility, and maybe Pandurings is the place where I go and give accolades. I'd love to see maybe next year a kind of the People's Award. This really touched me. Something like
Idea.
So, you know, let's open up the process. If we want to be inclusive, let's make it completely inclusive. Sorry, Doc, I cut you off.
No. I was just saying, you know, Gordon, I think the thing with awards is, you know, sometimes, you know, we all got our favorites, and I guess, you know, I've looked through, you know, in prep for the show. And I mean, the one that I liked was the one that won the students category. I mean, it was, for me, a lot of insight around Woorde met Vlerke, in other words, words that have got wings. Yeah. And it's a game, you know, where somebody can choose good words, positive words, and avoid, you know, through a gamification mechanism, words that are negative. And the insight is that we deal in such a negative world in many cases, you know, so many negative words, don't do this, stop, no more, you know. And also the fact that it's gamification, so a lot of kids it's not an unusual thing for them to ask them to do, is to play a game, but it's an educational game. And the one point in watching that submission video is about the lady who was narrating it, talking about it leaves you with a sense, hopefully a sense of goodness, you know, that you haven't just played the game, but you've played the game with a purpose. You've been in the zone, choosing good words and then leaving, hopefully, you know, not a better person, but at least thoughtful about the process. I think that's the point I was making earlier about, you know, not just a scripted something where you've got into and you've had to really be in the zone and in the moment to not only enjoy the game, but do it with purpose and hopefully a good purpose. Yeah.
There's a very interesting touch point for me in that specific entry, and it's got to do with Indigenous language and mental health, which is one of the biggest things that we're overlooking in South Africa right now. We've got a mental health crisis, and everybody needs to go to English rinks or call like English like helplines and stuff. And it's apparently much more efficient if you get therapy or mental health support in your Indigenous language, and that's definitely an opportunity.
That's unbelievable what I'm hearing now, because I mean, to have call centers speaking to people in multiple languages, not a new concept. You know, we've been doing it for years now. So you're saying to me that in South Africa today, somebody has got a massive issue of mental health, and it's not just a 2-year COVID thing, I think exacerbated sometimes by that. You're saying to me that a person cannot speak in their native language to somebody for help. And this is not about how do I put my SIM card in my phone. You know, this is life and death in many cases.
The vast majority of South Africans do not have access to any mental health support, despite all the beautiful lines and things that are supported. That's still a massive crisis.
But you think to yourself, you know, that these major companies, Gordon, and we've had some of them on our show, you know, massive organizations that are in South Africa, and for that matter, operate globally, would step in, you know, if then for nothing else, which is the worst way to do it, just for your CSI. But at least you're doing something. Hopefully CSI with heart and real purpose. And I saw, Eben, you're outside of this, you know, you started a company 20 plus years ago. It works with brands with purpose. So, but we unfortunately don't have time. It's always an interesting thing about real purpose versus, you know, superficial purpose. What is purpose for us? But we can't get into that. But I mean, you'd say to yourself, you know, there are massive companies where there's a growing problem to do real help. But yet they're not stepping up. So maybe that's a call out, you know.
It's such
you know?
A beautiful opportunity, and people who want to get involved with yeah. it can certainly contact us and get become part of the Indigenous Language Mbizo, yeah. which is something we're going to run for another 9 years under the banner of Pendurang.
Yeah.
As I said, we've got UNESCO endorsing it, the yeah. Pan South African yeah. Language Board. Sorry, I said something about the Indigenous Language Decade. So yeah, that'd be incredible if more brands yeah. like take up this challenge and help heal the nation and its Indigenous languages.
Kabasing?
That's amazing. And I think, fortunately, some of us sit with big brands in rooms and we come up with ideas. Mm. And I think that's an incredible provocation. I've never actually thought about the fact that we are all receiving mental wellness help in English. And it's like, you know, another barrier. Mm. Maybe you can't really express yourself as well as you would in your native language. So I think it's an amazing opportunity.
It's particularly sad, you know, I'm blessed with 9 grandchildren, so I've got my own control group to observe this kind of thing. But to see displaced children very often in a cultural milieu where they're not able to communicate, that's, I think, when the hurt really is apparent. You know, when you're old enough, you're tough enough kind of thing. But when you're a kid, you don't understand that displacement. But just to broaden the discussion, you talked about big brands, CSI getting involved, and we've talked about, I think in South Africa we understand language, race, culture, that kind of mix. But you know, in terms of brands engaging, and I don't know whether it falls under Pendurang Awards, but we've had it in our sports sponsorship discussions, the single biggest opportunity in global sport is women's sport.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we've got a side like Banyana, which is not really got enough backing. Mm-hmm. We saw it with the rugby ladies who just were thrown to the wolves, you know, amateurs in a professional game, lost, I think, 75-0 to England. But we cannot expect performance from amateurs. So, I mean, do we throw gender diversity into Pendurang at any point in time? Does it, or is
I
that...
I think it's a
that...
very important thing that could be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, I think once you start, like, unpacking the issues, they almost interlink. So I think you do see some of those themes also coming through in work, you know. There are a few brands trying to tackle it, whether it's looking at gender-based violence as an issue, also very language and cultural nuance related, at least I believe so. And I think solving one problem, linking it to the next, like not being blind to the problems that interlink, is an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think also just as we touched on, I think before the show, diversity really isn't just about putting sort of bums in seats. It's about that cognitive diversity that we touched on a little bit earlier. Looking at who is in the room from a thinking perspective. Do we all understand problems the same way? Do we all see ideas to solve those problems the same way? And I think if you look at our jury on Pendurang, that was an amazing example of getting some great thinkers from almost vastly different backgrounds, from a language perspective and other sort of psychographics perspective. You get interesting results, you know. You get really, really interesting results. And I think there's definitely lots of opportunity there.
Yeah, and Kabasing, you make the point about, and the earlier point, and I want to link to that now, about the jury not being influenced by a bigger name, if you like, you know, take the word on. And we had Tulani Sebeka on, remember, but last year, I think it was, from Standard Bank, and Tulani's talking about allowing junior people in a boardroom to speak first. Because if he speaks first, obviously the people are going to sit and say, yes, Tulani, I agree with you, Tulani, because of the influence of the person. Yeah. And I think that's so important to get to a stage of comfort in yourself that you know when to interject, as opposed to just trying to hog the limelight. And sometimes it's not the intent, you know, maybe you want to hurry the meeting on, get to the point, make your point, whatever the case may be. And I think, you know, we've also seen with judging committees, and we've all been part of it to greater or lesser degree, where one person can sway the jury, and it's the old that jury phenomenon. But it's interesting from a CMO and across the industry, I suppose, is to allow, if you want younger people who are different to you to express a voice, well, let them talk. You give them a chance, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just interesting in terms of ordering, the order of the speakers.
For me, that's quite an interesting point from a language perspective, because, you know, young people do with language very interesting things. So the way young people will speak isiZulu too, even the way I will speak isiZulu, so the way my grandmother will speak it will be different. Yeah. And the typical order is that the older people will frown upon the way the younger people are using the language. Yeah. But I think what younger people do with it is they create relevance for it so the language can survive. Mm-hmm. And it's about like embracing that, but also retaining the original kind of magic of the language. Yeah. I think allowing young people to speak the languages the way they want to speak it, whether it's on social media, you know, in general conversation and advertising, that becomes the way that we can actually keep our languages alive, which is quite an important thing, like letting young people speak first and do with ideas and languages what they want. I think we
need to foster an environment where you know we can exchange points of view without being jugular about it. You talked about the MAC Charter, and this is MAC Charter 3, and I've been involved with the first MAC Charter. And for me, it's almost the same problem manifesting itself. It's become a BEE tick book. Mm. We're ticking it against a set of guidelines. There's no transformation unless we have cognitive diversity. We don't want an industry that looks different to the way it used to look. We want an industry that thinks differently to the way it used to think. That's the bottom line on it for me. But you talked about the erosion of languages, and people would frown about, you know, the lost language component. I think one of the most marvelous winners was in the film category. It's Joe Public again, Castle Milkstart. Won't you take us through that? The Omar Katrina, that for me was incredibly moving, and the value of that. That's a case study that should be taken to schools and put into the life skills discussion program. That's, for me, how life-changing it is.
Yeah, I think that is an incredible piece. Also one of my favorites. I think that what they try to do, the brand Milk Stout, they are about preserving culture or cultural richness is how they describe it. They tie it back to the intrinsics of their beer, which is rich, and it has a sort of ancient cultural method of production. So they've gone, this is our higher purpose. You know, in another year, they had the inaugural Ancestors Day that they spearheaded, which we never had before. So they've got this whole world around preserving cultures. And one of the things that need urgent preservation is languages. So they tell the story of the last speaker of Ngu, which is a language, an ancient language of the San people in South Africa, who are an incredible and important piece of an important people to our history in South Africa. And how can there be one person who is left that's a fluent speaker of that? This is at the core of this preservation issue that we're facing. It's almost like a crisis of erosion of languages. And for a brand to step in there and go, oh my gosh, we're going to stop people in their tracks. We're not exactly going to talk about beer here. We're going to do something that's more important for our country and our people with our brand platform that we think can go there. And they took a filmmaker out to go and have a conversation with this person, and they gave solutions. So one of the things that I think was fun that they did, because I think often the higher purpose work can feel like maybe it needs to be boring and very serious, but they had a fun element where they took the words from Ngu and they made them into these stitched kind of denim badges. And I immediately go, oh, that gets it into everyday culture. You can walk into a Tepo Jeans and you can find those patches and put them on your jacket and talk about them, you know. So not only did they broach the issue and make South Africans think about it, they then have interesting solutions along with their storytelling that makes sure that language doesn't completely die. So absolutely love that one.
Quite an extraordinary piece of work. And as I say, I'd love to see that kind of case study. That's where you can take commercial work, take it across into a school scenario, and come. There's your training. I mean, you know, that's absolutely amazing story. And then the other one was quite fun. And I mean, you would think a dating app, you know, Fata Afrikaans. Just tell us about it. It's quite fun. I enjoyed it.
It's a beautiful brand that they've entered, or their work is rather beautiful. They've entered it a few times, and they keep on seemingly growing and developing that further and further. I'm not sure what made it different this year from the previous time. Obviously.
I wonder. I mean, I found it fun a few times when I've seen it. I think we all love a good pun, so play on words, Vata Afrikaans, Vata Gans.
But that's interesting what you're saying. Exactly. But that was what kind of locked me in, because so often when you say digital, my mind sadly goes straight down the TikTok toilet, and I'm thinking, oh God, my brain will disengage. But it was delightful to see just crafted copy driving your digital interface. And it made me realize that, you know, copywriting, the art of copywriting and digital are not mutually exclusive.
I think the copywriting comment also bridges me to the next piece of work, which was our Umbeta, our prestigious Umbeta, the overall winner.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I think just a copywriting feat, you know. One of my favorite things about our indigenous languages is they have a lot of onomatopoeia, which plays on the sound that a word makes to kind of touch on its meaning. So in isiZulu, a motorbike is this tututu, which is like, you know, the starting noise of a motorbike.
Yeah.
And I think what they did with that piece is they basically described the frustration of being stuck in a meeting when you actually just want to go eat. But the joy of delivery is while you're having that meeting and you're kind of stuck in one position, someone can be coming to solve your hunger problem. And it's for Nando's. I think it's just absolutely incredible. Whoever can get a chance to listen to it, please do. The whole thing sounds like a motorbike driving.
Yeah. No, it was great. I mean, it's great. And on that point, where can our listeners go to just download or have a look at these case studies?
All of the winning work is on the Pendurang website, which is pendurang.co.za. We've got a beautiful archive that the One Show is helping us to maintain. And so all the work that won this year and in previous years is available on pendurang.co.za. Yeah. You'll find links there to the archive.
What I found encouraging, and you mentioned design right up front, Doc, when we just started our discussion, is that I get concerned when I see a lot of creative awards look like it's big budget. You've got to have a big budget, otherwise you're not going to make it, okay? And even movies, you know, the whole obsession with superheroes, and that it's all special effects. The storylines are non-existent, but the special effects will carry you through. But I enjoyed some of the simplicity. So in the design sector, the winner was Nike with just a very simple a welcome mat and just making welcome mats in the indigenous languages. That for me was a very.
I think that was a different brand. Was that SA Homes?
It was
Craft Homes.
Was Craft Homes. Nike was the Shopper Soweto. Yeah, sorry, Craft Homes. And I thought, wow, it's a linkage to Craft Homes. The application is brand extension, but so elegant.
So they're
and so
a home
simple.
Developer, and it's incredible because when you kind of zoom out on these big developments, they all look vanilla and all the same.
Yeah.
But then they found a way of every buyer of a new home in one of their developments would be greeted by a welcome mat that's executed in their language. So obviously when you buy a mat, you give their data, or when you buy a house, you give their data as what your home language is, and they crafted a special home. It was a beautiful entry, and it's executed really in all the indigenous
languages. And simple execution, not big budget, just intelligent application within the confines the concept of Pendurang. Doc, I'm going to give it to you to wrap up. I've just been rambling on now. I'm going to...
Yeah, but I think, you know, just, I mean, in that point there, that's the point I was making earlier about having a piece of work that can sit and will sit very comfortably and naturally in the real world, you know, as opposed to a piece that, you know, is polished for the night, you know, if you like. So, yeah, it's great that, and again, to our listeners, you know, please go onto the Pendurang site. We always say, you know, in these discussions, it's not just about 30 minutes or 40 minutes of great chat again with fantastic guests. It's about the longevity of it. So please go onto our, either our site or go onto Pendurang's site directly. See, click on, enjoy the work, and be part of the discussion. So yeah, Gordon, we didn't touch on the Proteas' early exit from the World Cup. I think it's better to rather end the story on a good note. Speaking of and women's sport, you know, if you look at, and again, you know, the success of Banyana on the African continent, we know that, but also women's cricket, you know, I'd like to see them the new season, what it brings for them, because certainly the guys are in a transition and SA cricket have got a lot of thinking to do to get their act together. But
that finger being pointed straight at the sponsors. I mean, you cannot expect amateur athletes to perform at the highest level against professionals. That's just completely unreasonable. Nkabaseng, you know, guys, thanks for coming in. Eben, thank you for coming in. Normally at this point, I say my very clever hashtag, let's keep talking. But I think under the circumstances, Nkabaseng, do you want to say, let's keep talking for us in as many languages as you can, starting now?
Okay, as kubeke sikhulume ari tswele pele re bue kari ambe.
Okay, let's pass the baton to Eben. Eben, you can have a go.
Brought some.
Thanks to you all for joining us. We'll see you next time. Ciao for now.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, at Mzanzi Media, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.